Watch what happens. Watch what happens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that happens?
Happens.
What's going on?
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast for all that crap we just love to talk about on the improvs, okay? We're so excited to be at this very special live show on the internet.
Yes, this is so exciting. This is our first live show since the Crappies. It's a whole new season. There's so much going on. We have Real Housewives of New York is back. We have, yes, thank you. Yes, give it up for that, audience.
Yes.
Wow. We have such, they stop so quickly, though. It's amazing.
I know, I don't have my finger on the fade up, fade down button, but you know what? That's the thing I miss the most that Corona has stolen from us is a live audience. So I'll just play this shit. I'll play this all by myself in my house. I'll get up in the morning and be like,
that's right. It's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to get up. Welcome to the show. We are so excited. Ronnie, do you have any special beverage that you'll be partaking in for this live show?
Well, I sure do. I'd like to show you what I have on my desk.
Let's see.
Two empty Pellegrinos. I've got Jason's Deli water.
Okay.
I've got Jason's Deli filled with coffee.
Nice.
A very special. It was a long day here. Can you tell, guys? And I have a very special gift from the lovely people of Summer House, a lover boy spritz, darling.
This
episode of Watch What Crappens has not been sponsored by Lover Boy. Feel free to send a check, but they have sent us this lovely drink, Lover Boy.
You know what? You can't spell Lover Boy without love. And guess what? I love that. I love that. I have some vino tequila, and I'm going to have myself a vino tequila margarita. I love that.
Guys, this Lover Boy Spritz has been kissed with basil. Okay?
Wait a second, really? Yeah. I literally put basil into my margarita. I'm not even joking. I'm so excited.
Oh my God. And a character on Bethany was a DJ at Art Basel. So there you go. It's basil. Basil,
wow,
good luck. Anybody
connection.
Betting on basil? Time to bet on some basil. Okay, there's your sign. Cheers, Ben.
I made a basil margarita. It's pretty good, actually. How about that? I'm sweating a little bit.
That's lovely.
I just took, are you saying that it's lovely that I'm sweating or lovely that
no, but that was a good bitchy response to you sweating as well. This is lovely. This lover boy, which is not sweating.
Wow. Well, that's great. And this Vita Tequila is lovely. This is just a great, great night for Bravo spirits. Am I right?
Why are you sweating, Ben? Did you start feeling guilty that your Pelotons are killing children all over the country? Is that why? Did you
realize?
Man, that news was like a warm blanket to me to find out that Peloton was killing people. I was like, ha, the Peloton's a murderer.
It's the biggest bait and switch that we've had. I'm just sweating because I did that thing where I took a shower before this, and then now I'm hot from my shower, so now I'm sweating. I feel so betrayed when I sweat from a shower. I feel like it's the most wrong thing that could ever happen. It's almost as much of a betrayal as a Peloton killing you.
Well, I'm just used to being hot. I'm like this every day.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so we've got a very special show today. We've had quite a time this week, guys. Lots happened in the world, but really nobody gives a shit about that because we're at a Crappens show. Okay, let's pretend that none of that is actually really happening in the world. Instead, let's concentrate on more important things like Bethany Frankel getting another chance to make some money. God, I'm glad that woman found another way to make some money, Ben.
I am so glad. By the way, Ronnie, I don't know if you saw my message, but did you see the message about making sure to record your thing on your end just to make
sure? Guess what? I just started 3 minutes late. So how do you like that?
No, I'm sure I just want for redundancy. And this is Crappens, so we don't mind. We don't mind showing how the sausage is made because it turns out it's a very uninteresting sausage.
It is.
You have just ordered a sausage and it's... You ordered grass.
It's a hot dog. It's not even a sausage. It's a bad hot dog. It's a store-bought hot dog. God damn. Yeah. Okay.
So the big shot with Bethany Frankel.
Oh my God.
All right. Guess what? I have a business. I got brands. I don't know if you heard about this. I got brands, and I need to find a VP of operations. I can't do it all.
Yeah. So this show, Bethany show. It's on HBO Max, which, you know what? I get HBO. You know, everything can't be Game of Thrones, okay? But this is, like, literally Game of Bones. It's that sack of bones, Bethany. That sack of bones coming on and just making everyone feel like shit. And I have to say, love it. I absolutely love it.
She's a monster.
I read the reviews before I watched it, which are like, oh, Bethany. You know, they're all these highfalutin reviews, which why the fuck are you watching this anyway? It's an Apprentice ripoff on cable. Like, what did you think it was going to be? Okay. Like, Nicole Kidman's wig ain't in this. What are you judging this so hard for?
Thank you, Ronnie. Thank you for setting it straight. You know, it's exactly what we needed. So the thing that's funny about it is that she seems to take it very seriously, but the premise makes barely any sense. Okay. She spends, you know, basically both episodes reiterating over and over again that this is a global brand. Okay. I got 25 different brands. I got 25 different categories. This is a brand. So she needs to find a VP of operations, which as far as I can tell, that's like an executive, like that's a VP. That's a high level job. So here are the applicants. DJ Rose, Nicole Rose, who once appeared on Summer House and played Art Basel as a DJ. Another guy who needs to be told what a deliverable is. And I mean, it's just like the most ridiculous thing, but it's so good.
The cast is a bus stop. I mean, it really is. It's a bus stop of people. You're like, who are these people? Where did they come from? Okay, so first, Bethany looks amazing. I mean, she really is bringing anorexia back. I was like, I'm getting on that. Because that is like just literally, she's kneecaps and shoulder bones. And that's like literally it. And then, you know, her face. But that's literally all that she has on her.
And shoulder bones. Joints. Just various joints. Pelvis.
She's joint bones. Like, that's literally all that's left of her. And she walks around in clothes really built to confuse you. I mean, there's patterns, but they're not like Gail from Top Chef patterns, like just ugly, like bruise splotches. They're like, you know, squares. That's just confused. It's like a mess. Harsh squares. Everything is, that's the best way I could say it. Like the fashion people were like, we want, here's what we envision. Rectangles. Your body's going to be shaped like a very harsh rectangle. Your face is a rectangle, and everything you wear will be a rectangular maze.
We want a shape that is inherently unstable, okay? We want a shape that no one would want to use as a foundation for a house, a square, okay? Right. So we're going to do that. And so the first episode, she has all the candidates come up to her house in Greenwich. She's like, okay, this is my house. Okay, this is an investment property. This is my house. I never slept in it before. It's like, okay, Bethany, fine. And so she's like, we're going to have a cocktail party. Okay. And then they're not going to know that I'm spying on them. They're not going to know. I'm like, really? There's a million cameras right there. I think they'll have some sense that you're going to show up. And also, while they're mixing and mingling, she's up there in the bedroom with the blinds, like Mrs. Havisham will be like, huh, what are they doing now? Like, I'm sure someone saw you.
Yeah, and she's not even hiding. At the beginning, she's looking at them all over the balcony like Beth Vita. Like, heh, heh. Just like judging them really harshly from above, you know. I just have to read this opening. Because at first, you know, we knew we were going to talk about this on the live show. And so we're not going to do a full recap, obviously, because we have rehearsals in New York and everything else. So I knew it was going to be quick, but it's like the second Bethany comes on, I start typing really fast because I'm nervous. Like she's going to yell at me or do this wrong.
She'll fire you from your own show.
But just Bethany notes how they go. This is how my notes start for Bethany before I forced myself to put the fucking iPad down and walk away. Okay. Hi, Bethany. I'm a mom. You know, what the fuck now? What lighting guy? What do you have to do something? What is fucking anarchy in here? All right, you know what? Sound. Anybody else got to do anything in here? Motherfucker. Okay. A mother and finance. I'm a mother. I'm a philanthropist. I'm a HBIC and clown. Okay. And I bring close to $100 million a year and a skeleton crew running a massive business. I also like sequin jumpsuits and shapes on my dresses. You know what? I need a good cop. I need a bad cop. You know what? Have some vision. Represent me. Basically, be me. You know, I narrowed it down from 1,000 applications to a few. I make the party go boom. Okay. This is going to be the toughest job interview these people will ever face. This is not the show Friends. Okay. You know what? I can eat people. They can go. I can fire everybody. You know what? I can do whatever I want. And then we see a girl go, you look like a boss. And she goes, I am a boss. I was like, wow. Wow.
It is so intense.
I'm terrified.
And by the way, you know that was improvised. That's like, you know, she wakes up, she's like,
okay, guess what? I'm a boss. All right, I've got 50 brands. I've got 30 applicants coming around here. Okay, I don't want to hear that you want to try to do something. I want you to do something. Okay, time is valuable. Okay, all right, where's my coffee? Where's my coffee? Okay, what time is it? 7:01. It's already been a minute since I've been awake. And where's my portfolio?
She really is. And for someone who works this hard, so the first challenge is she has everybody like, all right, you know what? I got brands. All right. So you're going to go outside. You're going to look at my brands. And then you're going to do like a social thing. Because you know what my Achilles heel is? Social. Okay. I hate it. It's like, you hate social? Since when? You're on fucking Instagram every five. You Instagrammed your dog's dying.
Yes. Like, well, maybe she's right. Maybe she's bad at social. Because if you've ever seen her social, this is what her social looks like.
Oh, my God. I can't. No, I let it all out.
She always has the camera right up to her face. It's always there, and it's like, whoa! Like, you ever come across it, it's like the equivalent of a pop-up ad of a human. So, actually, before they get into the challenge, though, so they're mixing and mingling. There's a whole bunch of candidates, and so she's spying from above, and she has her assistant and also her gay go down there and mix and mingle.
Oh, my God, so, Barry, her gay. Oh, Barry. So funny. Barry. Did I call him Gary?
Well, Barry. I don't know what his name is. I said Barry. I don't know if his name is Barry.
I think his name is Barry. Yeah, Barry.
I think his name is you. I think his name is you, as in, hey, you. Go down. Yes.
Hey, you. Hey, you. Hey, you.
Hey, you. Everyone knows what you is? What's you?
They're all making fun of him. They're all making fun of him because he showed up like Easter, you know, in this like pink sweater. And they're like, wow, stupid sweater, Barry. Wow. What great stupid sweater. All right. And he's like, what? It's so me. She's like, stupid, Barry. Okay. Stupid. All right, Barry, go down there in your stupid sweater and pretend to be one of these stupid people. Okay. And then she has this assistant who's probably 18 years old. And you know the resting bitch face. They have, like, resting bitch face. But this girl has just, like, resting someone farted in my face. Like, somebody just sat on my face and they farted. She walks down there and she's like this.
She has resting I've had to pretend to enjoy too many skinny girl products face.
Yes. And for someone who talks about their brand so much, why does everything look like it's out of the dollar store? It all looks like it's taped together in, like, terrible packaging.
It's all like that stuff when you're at the checkout for TJ Maxx, and there's just all those impulse buys. They're sort of weird things, like strange chocolates and stuff.
Yes.
That's what it all sort of looks like. So they all mix and mingle. She has her eyes and ears and everything. She gets her report back. So she goes downstairs, and it must be, I don't know, it's like winter, it's cold. And you know production hates her because they don't even give her a heat lamp. So she's sitting there, and she's like, okay,
I have to eliminate four of you guys.
So she's shivering. And so she, one guy who I actually think is, I was like, oh God, we're going to be stuck with this guy all season. He's so annoying.
The Lebanese guy. Oh my God.
Yeah,
and
so
of course, we get a Lebanese guy. So I should like love this guy, right? But he's like, hi, and he talks like this because he's got just like a big talky mouth. And he's like, I'm Lebanese. And here's what I'm into. Branding. I love Brad.
This isn't going to be a fit.
So she just gets rid of him, which I was actually very happy about. I was like, okay.
And then she didn't like him because Barry didn't like him because Barry's the gay. Right. And so he was like, oh, hell no. There is no young gay coming in to take my bad sweater job. Okay.
That is true. So then there's this big guy who seems so sweet. And his whole thing is that he works at companies to help them have like better practices and
like diversity
right. Hires,
she goes,
all that.
What is that? What is that? What does that mean? And he goes, well, you know, to like help them with diversity. So what do you do? And he's like, well, you know, I talked to them about being more sensitive. And she's like, just go fat person with a key around your neck. Okay.
You're fat. It's called skinny girl. I mean, what else do you need to know?
You're already off brand. Okay. Like
you're a boy and you're fat. It's not called fat boy. It's called skinny girl.
Who let Key and the Neck around? Who let him around? Get him out.
But the best. So then there's this girl named Anne who is a publicist, and she just sort of gives a spiel. She's like, "So I work with brands and we help monetize them," or something like that. She goes, "How? Well, you know, we sit down. How? Well, you know, we'll sit down and talk. How? Well, we'll just like, I'll come up with a strategic plan, but how? How?" She's like literally barking how at her for 5 minutes. I'm watching a woman yell how on TV for 5 minutes straight. How? How? And this woman is like,
poor woman is not doing anything wrong. She's like, well, I set up events. How? Well, you know, whatever they need. What do you mean? Well, if they have, you know, if they have an event in the woods, I bring them to the woods. Oh, really? Okay. You know what? You're gone. Get out.
What's a woods?
Yeah.
You know what? I can already tell it's not a fit. It's not a fit.
So then, and then the last person, then there's another woman who has a sock business, and she
girl, I'm sorry, but like, I know that people need socks, and I know that like it's a huge business right now, and I'm not trying to diss sock makers, but seriously, you're too proud of socks, okay? It's like this girl was way too proud of socks. Stop it. She was going up to everyone like, oh, hi, I have a sock company. They're fashion socks. They're not fun socks. They're fashion socks. And Bethany's like, what's a fashion sock?
What is that? A fashion sock? Huh? Is that just a sock? What the fuck? Hey, so if you join me, okay, would you give up your sock business? Because I hate it.
She's like, well, I would love to be able to do both. And she goes,
that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. Okay, you see Fat Boy? Okay, follow him.
Yeah, so she got rid of Sock Girl. And then the most annoying girl is DJ Rosé. She's like, I'm a DJ and I love doing shots. Oh my God, anybody want to do a shot? We made some shots, Bethany, with your products. And she goes, oh, really? My products, huh? You know, these are coffee syrups, and they should say that on here. They should say. I was like, okay, so who's bad at branding now? Okay, yeah. You don't even put coffee syrup on here.
Yeah. So this woman, DJ Nicole Rosé. I mean, when she has to actually pitch herself, she sort of comes together a little bit. She's like, well, I worked in PR for many years, and I realized I didn't like it, so I decided that I was going to give it all up to do a cameo on Summer House and then go to Art Basel, and now I have an Instagram that has 100,000 followers. Now, her specialty is supposed to be social, but and I would love to have 100,000 followers. I don't have it. That's fine. But I feel like if someone's expertise is social, they should be above $100,000, right? 100,000 followers.
I mean, I don't know.
And also called Nicole Rosé. This is my VP of operations, Nicole Rosé.
Yeah, I think that she may get followers just from that. It's actually kind of a smart move, you know, because you know a lot of moms just go on Instagram and you type in your interest. So a lot of people are like, Rosé. And then they just look at Rosé posts. You know, I've done it with ducks. So I'm sure that there are people who do it with Rosé. So maybe that's how she got the followers. It's like, you know, my name is Ronnie Comfortable Couch. Like, boom, I've got like a million followers now on Instagram.
Wow. Okay. So maybe we should change our podcast name to Watch What Hot Naked Guys.
We should. So basically, you know, it's kind of an apprentice show, but it makes no sense who she keeps. She gets rid of four people right away, really for no reason. One person for being fat, one person for liking socks, and this other girl for not describing her job well enough. And I mean, it's inane. And then she keeps the girl who's like, oh my God, I can't be without my kids. Even being here, it's like I murdered them. I might as well have just strangled them both to death and drowned them and started them on fire. I can't even believe I'm here. Like, perfect. You'll never see your children again.
I know. That woman is like the only competent. That's the only competent person of the group. That woman. I think her name is Maloxi. So, the first challenge they just have
you
to do.
Maloxi, like a kid. You got Maloxi. Yes.
You got Maloxi. Yeah.
Maloxi. I liked her too.
The first challenge
That wasn't Maloxi.
It's not?
No. It was Maloxi was sitting next to her though.
Are you talking about the? Well, there was
the one who has two children and she's like crying over the children.
It was the girl from Pasadena. Well, whatever. The one who had the big booty. I hate to sort of whittle it down to that, but she had a big booty and she hates Nicole Rosé.
Everyone hates Nicole Rosé. Yeah, I mean, Nicole Rosé is a monster of a human. She's just one of those people who's like, you know what? I'm going to social. And so Bethany keeps this idiot because she's like, social's my Achilles heel. It's like, this is not what you want for your social.
This is not Nicole your Rosé. VP. So then the first challenge, they just have to do like a 20-second little like Instagram story for the brands, and they're all terrible. And she's like, "Ha, you covered the brand. You covered the brand. Look, what are you doing? You're putting a coffee pot into the oven. What is that? Huh? How you do it?" So then she gets rid of a girl because she's like, "You know what? All you did was show people. You just made a cup of coffee. That's all you did." I'm like, "She showed you how to use your brand." Every single person, she's like, "He didn't show me how to use it. He didn't show me how to use it. He didn't show me how to use it." And then this girl actually shows you how to use it. She goes, "Yeah, you're gone."
Well, the one she seemed to like the most, and I stopped watching this early, I'll admit it, not because I hated it, but I hated myself while I was watching it, if that makes any sense. But the girl that she seemed to love the most, at least as much as I saw, was the one who's like, "Oh my God, I have just lost 140 pounds on Bethany products." And she was wearing a Bethany brand, you know, outfit skinny or whatever.
Girl. Bethany brand. It's called Skinny Girl, Ronnie. Skinny Girl.
Skinny Girl. But she didn't tell everybody she was wearing Skinny Girl, and Bethany really liked that. She's like, "Oh, that girl's not trying too hard." I was like, "How is she not trying too hard? She's literally losing weight doing Bethany products and showing up in your clothes. That's like the definition of trying too hard." But it worked, you know, and this girl's like, "Bethany changed my life." So Bethany wants both a fan and someone she can bully. So I'm thinking that girl does. And Rosé will go very far.
Yeah, I think Maloxi is going to go far. I don't know. Did you get a chance to see the second episode? We could talk about the second episode on next week. The second episode was hilarious. The first episode was funny. The second episode is hilarious. Bethany is Bethany times 100. She's absolutely ridiculous. I'll just give you a preview. Clearly, the producer said, "We want every episode to be about, you know, an idea in business." So the second episode seems to be all about time and time management, which means that Bethany spends first half of the episode like running around her office like this. She's just like, just arranging things. Like, okay, I put a couch in the right place. Okay, that means it's set. Okay.
I'm a boss ass bitch.
And then she spends the rest of the episode saying, time's important. You know what? You know what? This takes time. My time is special. I have time. You're using my time. I'm like, the show is exhausting.
Man, that girl is super impressed with herself for having a microwavable popcorn. I will give you that about Bethany. Yes. I've never seen someone more excited about popping some popcorn. Like, lady, microwave popcorn has been around, okay? But you know what, Bethany? No one believes in herself more than Bethany. God bless her heart. She really gets out there and she's like, I'm the best! And it works, you know, delusion works. Positive attitude does not work. Delusion works, okay?
Yeah. I just want to amend that. I don't want to say God bless her heart. I think probably the proper term is God bless her chest cavity. I think that's what it is.
Yeah.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
Okay, so first segment done. Okay, Bethany. Bethany's done.
Oh, wow. Thank you, audience, for cheering us on that. That was wonderful. I feel
like here you go, Dan.
Oh, yes. There they are.
Yeah, there you go.
Whoa. So, before we get into Roni recap, all week long, we have been doing a fun countdown of the most underrated Real Housewives or Real Housewives of New York players. We have two more spots for each of us. So,
To write things down, but I need to get to my spots. Okay. Get to one of these 19 windows I have open. There is my handshaking porn that I had. Okay. I'm here.
Oh, you know what's funny? So I wrote mine down on a little dry erase board, and my number one and my number two, I don't remember what they are, and I smudged both of them. So I have to decide which one's one and which one's two right now.
I didn't write yours down, damn it. Okay. Well, I'll start then with number two. How about that?
Let's do it.
Okay, so my number two, who I think has already been mentioned by Ben, but I moved her way up on my list because I think she didn't get enough of a chance. And that's kind of what I'm going for with underrated. It's like people who didn't really get enough of a chance. Okay. I'm like second chance Ronnie. You know, there's second chance Ronnie coming down the sidewalk. Okay, so I chose Barbara. Okay. Now, I chose Barbara so high up because Barbara really was instrumental in calling Luann out in her like crazy, you know, bullshit, her alcoholism bullshit and her cabaret craziness bullshit. Like, she stood by her the whole season. Then Luann turned on her because she wasn't standing by her quite enough. She was like the first bisexual. Well, not the first, but on this show. Well, maybe not on this show either. Actually, never mind.
She's the first mayoral candidate. first mayoral candidate in New York
That's
City
what
history.
I'm getting to. This would have been perfect to keep her on because now she's running for mayor and she's just fucking Looney Tunes, you know? Yeah. She's like, put all the homeless people on Rikers Island. Just do it. That's what I'm bringing to New York. that's her platform, literally. And I was like, I need this on the show. You know, this is something I could watch on the show. So I say give Barbara another chance.
Yeah, I mean, I think that Bill de Blasio should just leave his wife and get with Barbara, and that way they don't have to run against each other. They can run with each other. But more importantly, Barbara's name would then become Barbara de Blasio, is like the most. That's the last name she deserves, de Blasio.
De Blasio. Hello, this is Mayor de Blasio. Please be sure when you get out of your taxi cabs that you have all of your personal items with you.
And this is Mayor de Blasio's wife, Barbara de Blasio. When you get out of the cab, make sure you haven't left any lobsters behind for Ramona.
Okay, who's your number two?
My number two, I believe, was on your list. I'm going with Kelly Bensimone. Kelly Bensimone has been the butt of our jokes for years and years and years, and she is pure Looney Tunes. But the truth is, she was the first person to go up against Bethany Frankel. She's the first person to notice the like you know, I'm up here, you're down here. That whole thing, that was at a time when we all loved Bethany, and she saw it. She called it out, and she also. I mean, Scary Island. I mean, I don't even have to say anymore. She's a crazy person, but I think we often look at her as a crazy oddity. But yes. Actually, I think that she is underrated. She actually brought good stuff to the show.
Yeah, except you know, Kelly. I guess I didn't have Kelly too high up on my list only because I see her talked about so much. But that doesn't mean she's highly rated. You know, you know, What About Your Mother or whatever that fucking show was on TV all the time.
What? And How I Met Your Mother.
Yeah, I boned your mom one time, whatever the fuck that. And I forgot what I was going to say about that because I hate the name of that. Yeah, What About Your Mother?
I like your version. What About Your Mother?
What About Your Mother? I mean, that was, you know, you heard it talked about a lot. And I guess it was highly rated, but it wasn't like, was it well respected? You know what? I don't know where I'm going with that.
I think Big Bang Theory is more what you're looking for. Or Yes, Dear.
Yeah. Well, you know, Big Bang Theory, I have to give credit to Mayim Blomlock or whatever, Blossom, because that girl, I mean, look at her. She just keeps on going. She's got her own sitcom again. I mean, the little girl who started tap dancing on beaches. I mean, you go, girl. You're my number one underrated New York housewife. Blossom.
My number one underrated Real Housewives of New York player is Mayim Bialik. She's so underrated, she actually never appeared on it. Now it's time for, wait. So before I do my number one, I'm going to go down my list. I'm going to just to tee everyone up. Okay. In number 10, I had Cindy Barshop.
I had Alex McCord.
Okay. For number 9, I had Elise Slain.
I had Cindy Barshop.
Number 8, I had Jules Weinstein.
I had Jules Weinstein as well. We tied on that one.
Yep. Number 7, I had Heather Thompson.
Number 7, I had Kelly.
Number 6, I had Kristen Takeman.
I had Elise Slain. Let me tell you about cryptocurrencies.
Number 5, I had Aviva Drescher.
I had Carol Radziwill.
Number 4, I had Jill Zarin.
Number 4, I had Kristen Takeman. Number 3? The original POC on this show.
Everyone's saying Ebony's the first POC. At number 3, we both had Tinsley Mortimer with a dash of Dale. Number 2, I just said my number 2 was Kelly Bensimone. Your number 2, you just said, was Barbara Kovit, whatever her last name is.
Kovovit,
COVID-19. Okay, and now our number 1,
she should
Ronnie.
Do that, Kovovich 19.
I'm running for office in 2019.
Yeah, well, what do I have a bug in here? Probably because I left Barbara. Those cans open in here. So that ain't even that. Okay.
All right, Ronnie. Here we go.
There, live death of a bug.
Oh, good.
I do it with my hands because I'm in Texas, bitch. I ain't afraid. Okay, number 1, I have the incomparable Aviva Drescher. Now, I know people are like, ew, Aviva, I hate her. Well, who cares? Okay? I don't care if you hate her. I hate her, too. That's the point. Aviva's the worst. She threw a leg at somebody. You know, I love Aviva so much. Someone painted us an Aviva leg. It's hanging up in my house right now. And every time someone comes over, they go, wow, what's up with that? And I'm like, that's Aviva. She brought so much to the world. She went against everybody. She was the first person to tell us that Carol was full of shit, never wrote a damn book in her life, which we all should have realized by reading her Twitter, because Carol don't even know grammar, which I said with bad grammar. Ironic, right?
Yes, that's okay. That's the sort of irony that Carol could never grasp.
Yes, she told us about Carol. Everything she said, I think, kind of turned out to be true. She took us to the place where her leg got stuck in the cow factory or wherever that was.
The farm.
She made that whole trip of like, you should have had a banner. We already talked about that. That was amazing. Her little wussy husband, who I'm convinced she locks into the basement, you know, into like a dog crate every night.
Also, Fran Drescher's brother also gives it a bonus point.
I mean, I feel like there was so much more there. Did she try too hard? Yes. But you know what? On some of these shows, I need some effort. I need some effort to be made. You know, I will always choose the little chunky kid in the back tapping harder off rhythm than everybody else, because at least they're making an effort. And yes, I am talking to you, child version of Ron and Karam. You're underrated.
You know what? Aviva would have ranked higher for me, I think, if she had gone on her second cast trip, but she chose not to. And then, in fact, the producers cut her out of the opening credits for like 3 weeks, which was pretty amazing. My number one most underrated housewife of all time is a housewife who, when she gave birth, her husband ejaculated on her stomach. It's Alex McCord. Now, I think I just made my case right there, right? Alex McCord, who you had on your list, I believe at number 10. I think that she's underrated because she is a foundational member of the Roni Empire. She also, she lived in Brooklyn, which was, you know, a big thing that still has never really been, you know, not even Leah herself, the hippest real housewife of New York. Not even she lives in Brooklyn. Alex just did not fit in. She never fit in. She was just always so strange and awkward. And she just wanted to be so much. She just wanted to be so much more important than she was on the show.
Yeah.
And remember the first episode where there was like feverishly, she and Simon were feverishly looking over the New York Times to see if they got mentioned. And then she just like lost her mind and spent an entire season just like screaming at people, but at the wrong time. So then everyone just got exasperated with her because she would come storming into a scene like, I have something to say and I will not be a messenger. You double parked. And everyone's like, Alex, they blocked off the spot.
Yes, Morocco. Clump, 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 clump. You listen to me, how you are treating her, Luann, that you cannot do this. First of all, you come down here in your Herman Munster shoes. I mean, never forget. Never forget.
So there it is. Those were our picks for the top 10 most underrated Roni players. And if you're asking why wasn't Ray on there, like trash, I think the reason why Ray is not on there for me is I feel like Ray is actually very well appreciated.
He's very highly rated. Yeah, I think Ray is very highly rated. So guess what? We have to go through all of your stuff that you guys gave us. And also we need to let you vote on number one and number two spots. So we'll announce that next week on next week's show.
The people's choice. We'll do next week, because also we have to talk about Roni. We've had enough of this pre-show craziness. Yes. It's time to get into the main event here, which is that Real Housewives of New York is back.
And before we start, I just have to make a note to all the husbands out there or the friends of people who are watching this.
Your dad
is not watching this, is he?
He is. He texted me. He said, I'm watching right now and you guys are doing a great job.
Love you, buddy. So my parents are not. I can guarantee that. Just wanted to say to everybody who's out there, we've just got through 35 minutes of the show, which means there will be about 3 hours left. So if you have to pee, you might want to stay there for a while. Bye now.
And
it's going to be a long one.
Okay. It's going to be a long one. One other thing. After we wrap up the recap, We're going to be done with the podcast, but we're staying on here and we're going to be doing some Q&A. And there's actually a question box. If you're here watching this live, there's a question box and you can you can submit your questions. And when we're done with Roni, we will do a fun Q&A sesh as if we're at the Learning Annex or something like that. So be sure to use that if you are watching along live.
Oh, yeah. It says there, don't forget to submit questions in the question box.
Don't forget to... Pay attention, please.
Okay, here we are.
Nothing could go wrong.
I remember when the Real Housewives of New York changed their theme song to this new one where they had like the black background and the, all that. And I remember thinking, don't like it. It's not Housewives, you know, because that's how I react to everything at first. But God, I love that. It's just my hearing that again. It sounds like Carrie Underwood could sing over it. You know, like somebody broke up with me and you dumped me. I'm going to scratch your car. I liked it. I was just very happy to have it back.
Me too. But before we got our theme song, first we saw shots of New York City full of life and activity as if nothing were wrong. And it's March 1st, 2020. People everywhere. Chicago, starring Erica Jane, is on stage.
Foxy! Foxy!
Like, we gotta shut down this city. Erica Jane's on stage. So, October 2020. It's empty. All we can see is Bethany Frankel walking to her car to shoot a reality show.
Yeah, Bethany was the only one still walking around the city going, Brands, 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 Brands.
All right, here's what I want to know about coronavirus. How did it get to be so viral? Okay, I need to have a brand advisor.
You know what, Rosé, get out of here. Everyone, a fat guy with a key around his neck, you're already fired. Come back here so I can fire you again. You're fired again. All right, you know who I'm hiring for social? Corona. I mean, that bitch is good at social, all right? She's everywhere. She's, like, trending every day.
So the city, it's coronavirus. The city's empty. And the very first person that we see, surprisingly, we begin with Leah McSweeney walking into her boxing gym, throwing off her mask because, you know, who cares about coronavirus in the gym? And so she throws off her mask, and there's Martin the trainer.
Okay. The first of all, we've got to start with the gripe. Now, the internet already hates Leah this year. I don't know what
Leah's,
happened.
By the way, good luck, Leah. Good luck this year.
I don't know how Leah made it through last year. I mean, if you guys have the internet, which I know you do because you're on this show, watching it or listening to it or whatever, we all have the internet. You should have hated her ass last year. This stuff was all out on the internet. Her most problematic stuff was last year. And everyone was like, we love her. She's great. But then this year, I don't even know what she's done that's so bad. But my God, people hate her ass.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. I am predicting right now, this is a godsend for Hannah Burner. Because I think Leah McSweeney is going to come in. And then it's just like... It's all going to go there. So she
but
enters.
But I'm not sure that I'm ready for her to be like, she doesn't have the center apple or whatever, but I don't know that I needed to start with Leah. But I still like Leah because I don't know why everybody else hates her. So like, I still like her. So I'm waiting to see why I'm going to hate her. So I'm like cautious. You know what I mean? Like, I'm happy to see her, but then I'm like, uh-oh, this is going to be a problem soon. So like, I'm cautious.
I'm hate ready. I'm open to it. But I don't love hating on my Roni stars because I love Roni so much. But I also don't love starting the season in this boxing gym. I have to admit, the Martin the Boxer, I haven't really ever loved this guy. I don't really find him as funny as everyone else does. Although he did make me laugh here because, you know, she comes in and she's like, Martin, I haven't been able to work out for a month because of my surgery. And he goes, how'd it go?
And she pulls that like girl and I'm sorry, I've got two screens up, so I've got the live version of you on my left, and so it looks like you're doing, I'm like, why is Ben dancing right now? I've got both sides of you. So yeah, he's like, how'd it go? She goes, oh, you know, I can breathe so much better now. And he's like, huh, yeah, and you don't got that big honka anymore either. Because she's trying to use that 13-year-old girl in junior high, like, I had a, you know, what do they call it? Deviated septum. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Was it in your boobs? Like, seriously? Yeah, Martin, I think Martin's really funny and really sweet and everything. And obviously, he's done nothing to me, but he is a little bit like, you know, when your dad's like, you know what, instead of giving someone $5, we're going to take him into McDonald's.
He just gives Frankenstein vibes to me. I just feel like he's not quite on brand. But so then we go, but we're only seeing flashes because we're like reestablishing this is what people are up to. So now we see Ramona and her daughter / best friend Avery with her ex-husband Mario. Okay.
Yeah. So they're all at Ramona's house and poor best friend Avery. She just looks so uncomfortable. It's like she's forced to do these family scenes, but her parents just want to flirt the whole time she's there. I mean, she's just walking around, like, picking things up off the counter, like, acting like she's maybe dusting something, while Ramona puts on her flirt eyes, and Mario puts on his prisoner eyes, you know?
Yeah.
And Ramona's like, well, you know what? Me and Avery haven't seen you for 3 months, Mario.
Mario?
Like, pulling Avery? All her flirting moves out.
Look, I've muddled some mint with some lime and some vodka and some soda and put ice in it, okay?
It's like, so, Mario and I have always had this rhythm, okay? And you know what? We had that rhythm back again.
I'm like, Ramona, no one will ever accuse you of having rhythm.
That's one thing since season one that's never changed. Ramona ever finding rhythm.
Yes.
So then he's basically like, well, I miss your cooking down in Florida. You have to come back down. And so then she does her flirty shoulder where she goes like this. She starts leading with her shoulder. She goes, is that an offer? He goes, offer? When you mean an invite? I'm like, that's actually kind of the same thing. I don't understand this pattern.
I know. Like, there's a time to correct Ramona. This one isn't it. But, you know, you might want to hold her shoulder down because she's going to hurt herself. I mean, she's literally like, you know, she's doing the full-on Kristen from Vanderpump Rules shoulder pump.
So then we go over to Luann, and she's in her new apartment, and she has an avocado in front of us, in front of her, and she goes, my little lone avocado. Oh, what has become of me? Cabaret icon. Used to fill all the seats in all the theaters of the world, and now the only one who's come to see me is a little lone avocado.
This lone avocado. And she's got an assistant named Molly, who's way too positive to be here. She'll be dead soon. I mean, yes. she'll be in pickles territory soon. Ain't nobody going to hear from Molly again. So no. Molly's like, I got everything organic from the store for you, Lou. Everything. And she's nodding. And Luann's like, well, you know, Molly, I love going to the supermarket, but now that it's a masked affair, I'm just not into it.
That's the name of her new album, A Masked Affair with Countess Luann. So I love the idea that she's basically admitting that the only reason why she would go to the supermarket was to just prance around and show off her face. Like, hi, boys, fresh produce, more like fresh cabaret. Hey, oh, I hope those meats haven't hit their expiration date. I hope that it looks like we're about to hit it. I guess there's not a lot of time left to sing Happy Birthday to you, everyone in aisle six. Thank you.
Listen, I know we all need masks, and they can be fabulous, but for me, it's like a fashion faux pas.
You know what else is a fashion faux pas? Spreading coronavirus. So, so then we go to...
Not if everybody has it. Listen, if you spread coronavirus to all your friends, then you're all in the same coronavirus boat, and then it's a party. Okay? It just depends on how you look at things, man.
Love that messaging. So now we go to Sonia's townhouse, and so she's with an intern and asking the intern to look up an email or something. The intern's name is Zoe, and Sonia goes, these are crazy times, but I'm a crazy lady, so I feel right at home, actually. Cray cray is the way we roll. I'm like, it's a global pandemic. This isn't just like, oh, it's a thunderstorm. This is crazy.
I know, but you know, I'm a Sonia. I loved it. It was like an excuse for me to not see anybody for a year, just to make bread, yes. Like do whatever you can do with flour. Like, I was into it, and I'm pissed off that it's ending. I really am. I'm upset that it's ending. I've had my my vaccination scheduled, and I keep like, whoops, it's too far away. Whoops, I'm late. You know, I keep... missing
it's a masked affair.
Yeah, you know, and I'm kind of upset about it. So I get Sonia, and Sonia's coming from a real weird place this year. As usual, she's always in a weird place, yeah. But especially this year. And I just look at her new intern, and I just, like, do we ever learn anything in this country? Like, Ghislaine Maxwell is sitting in jail, you know, all this stuff with Jeffrey Epstein. Are we still not worried about human trafficking? Like, how is nobody looking into this? Like, Sonia has said she takes these children from their parents and promises them degrees. Something fishy is up here. Is someone going to investigate?
So this is the investigation, okay? This is where we're putting in a complaint with the authorities, okay?
Yeah.
So
just make me a bath, darling.
Yeah.
Pull mama a bath.
And she's like, "Oh, look, I got something. I got something to shave my pussy." And then we just go into the opening credits. I was like, "Okay, New York is back."
But she's so weird. She's like, "I have used to shave my pussy. Oh my god, I may use this tonight."
So now we have our new taglines. Okay, so first
and this
we have...
is also a first episode where we get taglines, which is kind of rare lately. Normally they wait till the second or third episode. So it's just going to be a crazy year, people.
They just get right into it. So we start with Luann. He goes, "Of all my vices, being glamorous is one I'll never give up. Also, maskless. Being maskless is something I'll never give up to at the supermarket."
And then Leah, she's like, "I'm sex positive and BS negative."
Okay. You know what? Now it's Ramona. "You know what? I may say the wrong thing, but my intentions are always right. Okay?" Which I thought was so funny. It's such a fuck you to Dorinda, because it's like an inversion of Dorinda's last year, because Dorinda's was, "I'm not always right, but I'm never wrong." And now Ramona's saying, "I may say the wrong things, but I'm always right." Except the difference is that Dorinda's last year was one of my favorites, because it sounded like she was saying it from across the room. "I'm not always right. You're never wrong.
You're never wrong." And then we get Ebony. "I've had to work twice as hard for half as much, but now I'm coming for everything."
Which is good. I like that. Good opening line. And then finally, Sonia. "Just like New York City, Sonia Morgan never goes out of style."
Pussy.
Pussy. So then we go to Luann.
No, Leah.
Leah.
Leah's. Leah's new apartment.
Why do I have Luann Center? Oh, because Luann had the Center Apple.
Yes, Luann was Center Apple. Yes, I was very Luann proud was of
Center
her.
Center Apple. Okay, so let's go over to Leah's new apartment with her tiny little new dog, Angel Marie McSweeney.
Christopharo. And so she's like, "Sitting alone by yourself, like during quarantine, helps you make some changes." And I did.
Yeah.
I upgraded my apartment and I got a new fur baby, Angel.
Yeah. And she's wearing this dress in her confessional. It's pink and it's made out of $100 bills and it's super tight. I get that bad fashion is her thing, but this is very Real Housewives of Staten Island, okay? And I can say that because I lived in Staten Island, okay? I could have seen that at the fanciest restaurant in St. George. There, said it. Sorry. Okay.
So, yeah. Well, she's like, cool in the counterculture. So her sister Sarah FaceTimes and she's like, "How are you? How are you?" It's like, "I'm good. Just walking around Soho." "Okay, cool, cool. I'm just very nervous right now because, as I mentioned to you, I'm starting my conversion process to Judaism, and like today is Yom Kippur, and it's just like becoming very real to me that I'm taking these steps." I'm like, "Why are you FaceTiming on Yom Kippur? Or if you're trying to convert and be a good Jew, why are you doing this? Why are you shooting a reality show on Yom Kippur?"
Yeah, I think that you're not allowed to do any of that stuff. But I don't really know because, you know, I just know you and like Tevye from Fiddler on the Roof. That's yeah, like literally the extent of it, you know?
Yeah, and Jill Zarin.
I don't know her. But so, I do really know the real Tevye. So Sarah's like, "I mean, it's a pretty big deal to convert to like an organized religion." She's like, "Oh, well, would I convert to an unorganized religion?" I'm like, okay. We're getting a Gentile version of Wacky Jew storyline this season.
Yes.
I'm not sure.
Gentile cat skills.
Yeah. I'm not sure. This feels problematic, but I'm going to wait to see how many show tunes are in this before I really judge it too harshly. You know, is there a bottle dance?
Is there a bottle dance, right? Is there going to be a dream sequence featuring the ghost of her mother-in-law?
Yeah. If you were a rich man, what would you do? Okay. And I need it to rhyme. Okay. But tradition, I'm giving you a chance.
Tradition. Tradition. That's the Leah McSweeney version.
Matchmaker, sunrise, matchmaker. Sunset. Already fucked him. It's like, that doesn't even rhyme, Leah. Okay.
A blessing in her house,
mazel tov. She's like, "Look, I mean, You know, I've been wanting to convert to Judaism for like many, many years. I mean, maybe I'm having my Madonna ray of light moment. I was like, Madonna is literally Jesus's mom. Well, I guess he was Jewish. So maybe it does all work together, you know?
Madonna's ray of light moment was also like universally mocked for how transparent it was. But listen, you know what? As a member of the tribe, I always welcome new members of the tribe. So
you know,
I support it. Yeah,
is
why
that
not?
True?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think tribes are like that. Like, we just welcome every member. You have to put them through a bunch of shit. I mean, you have to learn a whole new language to get into your tribe. What do you mean you just welcome?
You don't have to learn Hebrew. I don't, maybe you do.
Don't
know.
You? I don't know. I used to go with my best friend to Hebrew school.
I was grandfathered in.
Literally. I went with my best friend to, after, what is it called? You've told me before. I'm so ignorant. Okay, let's just get that on the table. I'm ignorant. Hebrew school, yes. And I was like, why isn't anybody teaching them to sing? Because like for your bar mitzvah, you have to get up there and like sing the prayers and stuff. And I was like, they need work on the singing. Anyone can learn the words. I don't know. There's like a lot that there were a lot of notes I had from Hebrew school.
Okay. Thank you. I'll be sure to pass it on to some higher councils of elders. I'll be sure. I'm going to go to Williamsburg and be like, guys, there's this guy. I've worked with him. He has some notes about what we should be doing.
Well, you know, you're going to get a lot of when I lived in Williamsburg stories this season, because I did live there years ago, like 20. It was before 9/11. Okay. I moved after 9/11. So it was like right before then for a few years. And we lived in this building on Kent Avenue. And it used to be a pasta factory. And the school right next to us, under our windows, was the Orthodox school. So, you know, I know a lot about the culture, man. So if anybody has any questions about Hasidicness, give me a call.
I will. And if Ronnie's not available, you can always watch the season of Shaw's The Sunset where Jessica converted to Judaism
yes.
for that douchebag. So, yes. So anyway, so she's going to be, but here's the, so she's getting converted by an Orthodox rabbi. So she's really going in the deep end of the mikveh. And so Sarah, that's a Jewish term, Ronnie.
That's why I'm nodding. I'm very knowledgeable.
I was like, I actually lived above a mikveh in what was formerly a tortellini factory. And
yes, I mean, I know the lingo. That's why I'm just nodding and not making a big deal out of it. It's totally natural to me.
So anyway, so Sarah's basically like, so you're being converted by Orthodox rabbi. You may want to look into that. I think you're going to have to be a little bit more modest.
And she goes, modern. She goes, you mean modern. She goes, no, modest. And she goes, I'm not dressing more modest. I got a pink dress made out of $100 bills, bitch. Like, you think I did that for nothing? Okay. So she tells us like that she's really attracted to all the rules and rituals and the prayers because it's like really intense, and addiction, you know, does turn itself, you know, like you're addicted to drugs and then you're addicted to being thin, but then you're, you know, you know, maybe you get some problem with that. So you get addicted to boning and then you get addicted to, you know, Bravo shows, like whatever it is. Yeah. It's like a cycle. And she just happened to choose Judaism.
She's addicted to the Torah. So, yeah. So then she calls her dad. So she has to, because she, I don't know if she hasn't, I don't think I forget if she's told her dad or whatever, but she calls up her dad and she's like, hey dad, so today's Yom Kippur and I want to start the year afresh. So I want to ask your forgiveness for not being a great daughter. Just like straight up, like, sorry, let's just forgive me for everything now.
Just everything. Just in general. Do you just forgive me in general? And he's like, that's it. Look, I'm not Jewish. I'm a Christian. And, you know, Christians have penance. You know, they don't just have this random apology thing. You know, you got a penance. You know, she's like, but I am atoning, Dad. I'm calling you. He's like, no, you're asking for forgiveness. Penance, you got to do something to atone. And she's like, we don't do that in Judaism.
It's going really well, everyone. It's going really well. So Leah's like, she's like, well, just because I'm converting to Judaism doesn't mean I'm gonna be the perfect Jew, and I'm like not gonna tell my rabbi about this, but this is progress, and you know, not perfection, just progress. So
and he's like, Angel's a Mexican dog, right? So Angel's Catholic, so what are you gonna do? Because Angel's a Chihuahua.
two against one.
Yeah, so
speaking
that's gonna
be dogs. Speaking of dogs,
Ramona's talking to her as down the street, you know?
Coco.
Ramona, when that camera is on her, she doesn't care. She's literally like, well, Coco. She like does a full turn in the street. It's like, hi, Coco. Guess what? My friend moved back to town. Well,
Coco is basically the Weekend at Bernie's of little dogs. Coco's like, so guess what, Coco? My no moved into the neighborhood? Luann, okay? She only lives a couple blocks from me, okay? So who would have thought? She and I are really friendly now, okay? Coco's like, please just let me
run into the street, Coco. Coco's just like, please get me away from this woman. I don't care what I have to do. Just please.
Please, I thought cats were supposed to have 9 lives, not dogs. Please just end this for me.
I know. Coco should have been dead a long time ago. Coco is like the dog version of Kelly Ben Simone, just running in the middle of the street. You know, the way that Ramona walks her. So, or him. So then Luann is at her new apartment, and she's doing one of those Luann trying to be really fancy and artistic poses, but it totally fails. She's standing there looking at a painting going, like she's surveying the art, but she didn't hang it right, so it just falls right off.
She's like trying to adjust it. So then Ramona enters and she's like, oh my god, okay, you have the most gorgeous floors, okay? I'm so jealous. I hope you don't mind if Coco poops on them right now, okay? Go poop on Luann's floors, make them less gorgeous than mine.
Oh, look how chic c'est la vie you look. Thank you for loving the music. Thank you. Sit down. Sit down, really.
Please sit down. And I don't know if you noticed, Luann has the giant Miami poster behind her of like the Countess and Friends. Of course she has that like all around.
Yes, I would love to make fun of that, but you can see I do have a portrait of myself right behind me. So you do you, Lou. Okay, I'm with you.
So Luann sold her roundhouse up in Hudson. And she's, well, you know, I never could make it up there, you know, with all the demands of a busy cabaret schedule. It's hard to get up the Hudson River. And, you know, I'm always, you know, and I'm always in the Hamptons, especially with COVID. I'm not saying I had COVID in the Hamptons. I'm just there. COVID's actually a friend of mine. He was on Project Runway a few seasons ago.
Turns out microwaves don't really work in bathrooms. Who knew? But, you know, I'm back in my hood, you know, and it's nice to be back around my girlfriends, even Ramona.
Ramona goes, you know what? I love the way you decorate it. I love the colors. You know, you really impress me more and more I get to know you. But then again, the bar was set pretty low, you know, because you went to jail and I didn't, okay?
You know what? Maybe it's fate. Like, maybe fate is strong and I'm actually excited she's my neighbor, okay? You know what? It's like getting to know Luann for the first time, okay?
And I was like, okay, I love a good housewife start over. You know, where everything is perfect for about 2 episodes. Yeah, so I'm hoping that's all this lasts. Yeah.
We will always know Gretchen and Tamara. That was they really set the they created the template for the housewife do over that only lasts like 5 episodes.
Oh good. I saw Gretchen on Instagram Live today. Someone posted it and she looked like she was dressing like Luann dressed for Halloween. And she's like using some kind of filter on her face so half of her nose is missing in the video.
She looks like an eraser. She looks like an eraser.
She's Vinnie Ray. She's been Tamara Barney erased.
She has been. So so now Ramona's talking about their bond and, you know, she's so then Luann's like, Oh, you gotta try this beverage, okay? I got it in a place called the Hamptons. Anyway, this is a good like alternative to drinking because, you know, Victoria doesn't drink and I'm not drinking right now. And so then Ramona's, Avery's not drinking and I'm trying to cut it way down, okay? Which I felt like this was them really trying to signal to the audience, like, don't worry, we won't be as crazy this season. To which I say, boo, drink more.
Well, yeah.
Drink content.
Yeah, basically it's saying we're making zero effort this season, everybody. Okay, you know what's been great? Becoming healthy, getting sober, and taking care of yourself. You know what's not great? Doing that on my TV. Okay, you guys need to do that on your vacations. Okay, when you clock in, I want a martini in your goddamn hand.
Thank you. So they do a toast to not drinking. And so Luann, she goes, well, I literally think at this point I'm allergic to alcohol because this summer I had a couple of times when I drank some alcohol and I don't remember how I got home. I mean, those alcohol allergies. Can you even believe it?
What? This summer, I'm getting chills right now.
Well, you might be allergic to alcohol. you know, because that's what happens. You know, first you drink a little alcohol. Before you know it, you're dancing on a table and shooting ping pongs out your eardrums. You know, I mean, I don't even know what happened, but I must be allergic. I'm like, no, you're drinking too much goddamn alcohol.
You drank too much. You're not allergic. You drank too much.
Yeah.
Well, I had 12 martinis, and at the 13th one, I thought to myself, I might be allergic to this. And then I don't remember what happened next.
Yeah, Ben, I think I might be allergic to pizza. I mean, I don't know what happened. Like, I've been eating pizza, and then suddenly I got real bloated and my clothes didn't fit. I mean,
it must sound like a real classic pizza allergy, you know? As Duane goes, it's not only dangerous, it scared me.
It scared me. I mean, I was out. I was out in Sag Harbor, okay? And it happened a couple of times. And I said one time to myself, I said, you know what, Luann? It's time to change it up. And then I got up and I hit my head on a table. And then I realized I got gum stuck in it because people are still putting gum under the table. And that gum clumped up in my hair. And you know what? I think my hair is allergic to gum. Did not take well to it.
Well, you know, it's funny because for a few years now, I've been wondering about that trip to Mexico. Turns out I've been allergic to bushes, which is why I fell into one.
I mean, never just disgusted. Thought. Just disgusted with myself. I said at my age, no, never again. Last year, I mean, I was trying to find a drink again. And now my time is spent looking forward to not drinking. Like, is really like New Year's Day where everybody like, oh my God, it's like all of my eating, everything is solved now because now the year is 2021. Thank God the chip is off my shoulder. And then the next day you're just like scarfing it down, you know, humping the Domino's guy's leg. Girl.
It's just like, don't make these proclamations on TV.
Don't do it.
You're going to want to drink and we're going to want you to drink.
Agreed.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, it just wasn't worth it to me. I didn't know how I got home, and I was so wasted. It wasn't worth it to me to do this not on camera. You know, it has to be documented.
Yeah, to do this when cameras aren't following you, you're just an alcoholic. Okay.
So now we get into it. You know, every season always begins with everyone being mad at Sonia for one thing or another. Usually it's Dorinda who's mad. Like, you know what? She went to TJ Maxx, and she didn't tell me about it. You know, but this time... This time, Luann and Ramona are upset because they haven't seen Sonia. I guess they forgot it's a global pandemic. We're all supposed to be inside, but Sonia has not been returning texts, and now they're pissed.
Yeah, you know what? It's upsetting. Like, she's distancing herself. Well, not just from you, from all of us. I mean, I saw her daughter at Gitano downtown. And she said, you know, it's not just you, Lou. Mom doesn't give me the time of day. And they're like, well, something's obviously wrong with her. Guys, of course something's wrong with her. She had one thing keeping her life together. And Century 21 went under. And they're like, what could be wrong with Sonia? I just don't understand.
I hope she's not stressed out during a global pandemic when everything's been turned upside down. I hope nothing's wrong with her now that she's been forced to go back into the townhouse. That's been the albatross in her life that she was almost rid of. What could be wrong?
Yes. I mean, look, the lady has the townhouse. That's all she's really got as far as money or anything else goes. She can't sell that. She's losing money on that every month. She was like staying at her kid's apartment and the kid was probably like, get the fuck out of my apartment. This was supposed to be a week and you keep taping towels to the goddamn walls. Get out. You know, she's dead. Desperate. If you really want to get in touch with Sonia and show her that you care, don't text her. Use her Venmo, okay?
Yes.
Write her a message on Venmo with some money attached to it. She'll call your ass right back.
That's exactly right. And they're just like upset that she's gone MIA. And everyone's like, but you know what? We have friends. We're there for her. Who else is going to undermine her and make her feel bad about her decisions? Us, okay?
Yeah, psychological, okay? You know what? Something going on. She's Mia. Also, what's been going on with Sonia is Sonia's like one of those people on the side of the freeway with signs that say, we'll work for beer, but she does it for like facelifts because Sonia is all over the country just getting free face work. Then she's here in Austin, or she was last week at the Austin Spa, which is code for like, I'm getting my face done by somebody here in Austin, you know? And so it's like the new food when you're desperate. Yeah. Just, are you hungry? Don't worry. Get some filler in your lips. At least you'll have something to chew on while you wait at stoplights.
Yeah, she's fallen prey to that, which is too bad. So then Luann's like, oh, Ramona, I gotta tell you the most hilarious coincidental story of all time. So I just walked into this place. I was like, I want to buy it. I'll just buy it. Okay. No thought, you know, because who puts thought into a place that you're going to buy, right? I didn't pay any attention to where it was geographically compared to any other significant place in my life. So I was here, and then I'm waiting for those movers, those gentlemen, as I like to call them, furniture fans, and I look over there, and I said, oh my goodness, I can't believe that, and purely coincidentally, look what's over there, Ramona.
No!
I've got to get that squeal back.
No! No!
And it's Tom's Terrace. It's Tom's Terrace. She's like, oh my God, you don't even need binoculars. You can see it right there.
I know, isn't it crazy? Well, I know when, well, now I know when he's in town and the lights are on. Either the lights are on or they're off. And if the lights are on, I won't be going to the Regency, which of course I wouldn't be doing anyway because I'm not drinking right now. Allergies. Allergies. So bad this time of year.
So then we go to the park with Leah, who's wearing a leopard coat and a non-matching leopard mask, which, you know what? Commit. If you're going to do leopard, commit. So then Ebony comes to meet her, the new girl, and they're like, oh, how's your week? And Leah's like, tell me about your date. And she's like, girl, you can not even see my obnoxious smile because it's under this mask. You know, because they're doing that whole thing where the housewives are like, look, we're back and we're filming, but we're still being careful.
We still acknowledge that there's a global pandemic, nominally. Yeah. So, so Leah's like, me and Ebony met recently through mutual friends, and like, we live in the same neighborhood, and like, our dogs love each other, and like, the only difference is that Ebony is like really good at dating rich men. Like, yeah. So you live close to each other, and your dogs get along, and that's why you're best friends.
Hey, look, on this show, it's a housewives show, you know. True. They're not even trying anymore. Remember how they used to be like, oh my God, we've known each other for 10 years. Hey, Eden, love your work. And it's like, it turns out that they, you know, she almost got run over in a parking lot or something and they barely know each other. Yeah. So, let's see. So they take off their masks, they're talking, and Leah's brought Ebony a resting bitch face mask, which she's like, oh, I sleep with resting bitch face. And then Leah tells us Ebony is the epitome of like black girl magic. Like, she's a lawyer, a broadcaster. I mean, she took on the president looking hot as fuck, wearing Louboutins. Black girl magic. Do I need to say it? I'm going to just keep saying
she's
it.
Black
to see
girl
how many
magic.
People love it.
She's an AKA. Which does not mean also known as, okay, AKA, yeah, I know what that means. I'm like, oh, Leah, this is so cringy. I was like,
yeah.
I think everyone was just like, oh, like, why are you, like, it's not really her place to say black girl magic. It's not really her thing. But I was like, ugh. But then I'm like, at the same time, I'm like, no, we tune in for cringy moments like this. We did, but you know what?
This is Real Housewives of New York, and it could have been way cringier. Leah could have been like, oh my God, me and Ebony get along so well. Like, we have like that black girl magic. I mean, it could have been that.
It could have just been like, I'm like the ivory and she's like the ebony, which honestly will probably happen later this season. Let's be honest. You know?
Yeah, that's
good. So they're chatting and can we just like pause and talk about Ebony? I thought a great first episode for her, you know. I thought she was really good.
I really liked her. My general thoughts of the show is there's too few people. There need to be more people. I need like one or two more. And I was a little worried about it because at this scene, I was kind of laughing at the Ramona and Luann. Like, I was kind of in. I'm into it because it's back. I'm just excited it's back. But there is part of me like, come on, guys. But Ebony comes in with a ton of energy and seems like she's going to really
She's really good at working. Yeah. She's good at working the camera because she's like media trained, you know? And so far I think the media training has actually been, is very beneficial. It could work against her, but so far I think like it was a really, really strong entrance.
Yeah. And, I think so.
But I also had the same feeling, which is it seemed like they were trying to course correct the season a little bit since there were so many ill-advised people who said that last season was too chaotic. I'm like, well, you complained, and now guess what? Look what you got, okay? But I think they were trying to reassure us, like, no, we're getting back to the girlfriends part. So we'll see how it is.
A lot of it, I'm hesitant. Like, I'm feeling really hesitant at the beginning of the season. There's the sobriety, which makes me very uncomfortable. We all know that. And then there's the not enough people, which is making me like, oh my God, please don't make this boring because I need the show to like last until I'm dead, really. And then there's the, okay, now we're throwing a fabulous black woman into Ramona land, which, you know, is just like every,
we're all
every
bracing.
Ignorant thing, you know, you're going to hear every ignorant ass thing come out of these ladies' mouths. And part of me is like, this is going to be hilarious. But the other part of me is like, is it though?
we'll get emotions, that's for sure. You know, it actually harkens back to season 5 when they had a cast change. They brought on Carol and Heather and Aviva. And I remember in the first several episodes, there was like, it was kind of trying to find itself a little bit. And it felt sort of like, oh, what's going on? But it got its groove. And I remember the second half of that season was like insane. And
yeah.
So I have no qualms that it will be great, but I'm like you. It felt it was surprisingly tame for an episode of Roni to come back with.
But then by the time we got to the end and the coming this season, it looked hilarious. So we'll get to that later. But for now, she's telling Ebony about pita chip and, you know, catching her up on that, and he's kind of a fuckboy, and Ebony's asking her if she's ready to be in love, and, you know, Ebony's saying it was really hard for her to leave her last relationship because, you know, she just didn't want to start over, you know, it's just really hard to do that again, you know. And Leah's like, yeah, you know, like, I just, like, I hate the idea of taking a shit at a guy's house. Like, I mean, I'll get a colonic before I even go on the date. Because, like, I'm not going to shit.
Ebony's like, I don't give a fuck. She's like, I don't give a fuck. It could be a first date. I mean, because you fed me. You fed me. We went to dinner, right? You fed me, so I'm going to shit, okay?
And Leah goes, well, I broke up with the guy for farting in front of me. So that's where I'm coming from. And she goes, girl, give me a break. I'll take a duty, okay? I'm a human being, bitch. I ate. Which,
to me, that was like, okay, you're in. You're in. Like, yeah. I'm a human being, bitch. I ate. Like, story of my life.
Yeah.
So now we go over to
Sonya. Yeah, because you love to talk about poop. You know, I don't, but I'm listening
to. I'm not afraid to talk about it. I'm not afraid
to
talk about it.
No, you love to. You do. You love to.
It's perceived as love by you because you hate it so much. Because
you do it all the time. That's why. You
no,
do.
You feel like I do it all the time because you hate
you
it.
You literally
so much
do.
Whenever I do it, you know.
Yeah.
I can, I'll be like, listen, how are you? You're you like, got to poop. You want me to talk about poop? I will talk about poop all
no,
the time.
No, don't. But it was even okay when Ebony did it. So, you know, I think I'll like her. So then we go to the townhouse and the dog's barking and Sonia's just doing her like manic, just either snorted something or took 5 Adderall or whatever. She's like nervous to be back on camera. And she's like, oh, Marley, it's not about you, darling. He's like my lovers. He wants food and then they want sex. I mean, one mind, guys, right? Well, I'm going to be having brunch here, new intern, you know, and I haven't seen them. And you know, they're just so judgmental. I mean, they're saying great gardens and then they come in here and everything's a mess. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I love quarantine. What's going on? I'm going to show you how to make me a bath. It's going to be amazing. And this poor girl is like, can I please call my mother?
I know. She's like, I've been stuck in this townhouse with you for 5 months straight. Please let me out. And Sonia's like, you know, I really liked quarantine. I mean, I like being alone. It gave me time to center. I'm like, there's nothing about this scene that speaks of someone who is centered. She's like, okay, so we're going to get into a bathtub. Okay, you're going to draw the water. Okay. Oh, now my clothes are in storage. Okay, so I'm just wearing my pajamas around every day. Just like, oh my goodness, yeah. This woman is not centered.
And the first person that comes into this townhouse and offers me $7, I'm going to say, take it. Just take it away. You know, because right now, it's all about taking care of me. For the first time in my life, it's all about Sonia. I'm like, it's always all about Sonia.
It always
never
is.
Never change.
So she's going to draw this bubble bath. And she's like, okay, let me show you how to do my tub. Okay, like, why can't you do this? Why can't you do the tub? So she turns on the faucet and the little spray thing is aimed the wrong direction. And just like, you know, just shoots water right at Sonia, you know. So they're all like, ah, water.
And she goes, Sonya's, oh my God, that was hot water. And I was like, well, you see, you are moving up in the world.
Yeah.
That's the biggest news of this episode is someone got Sonia's hot water turned on.
I mean, we haven't had water flowing through that faucet for about 3 years. And finally we got someone to fish the blackberry out of the pipe, you know. So
she's like, Zoe, I'm training you. I mean, you're getting a master's, so you need real life stuff. That's what I teach people. You know, there's something magical about my internships. I mean, you just can't learn what I teach in class. Dishwater, doing dishes, gardening, bubble baths. And then she just takes off her clothes and she's like, these are not things you can learn in Wharton. Am I right, Zoe? All right, now tuck mama into the bath, Zoe.
So magical. That magical real world experience. But it would be funny if you go into Wharton and you just see people like not knowing how to make a bath. Just like water going in every direction. Like, how do we do it?
Yeah. Someone just standing in one of the water fountains outside like, am I doing this right? I just don't want to smell anymore. I've got finals this week.
They're putting potted plants into dishwashers. We don't know. Well, I guess you should have taken the Morgan internship. So she's in the tub, and so she FaceTimes Leah, which is an ordeal unto itself because they have a very hard time getting the iPad.
Why can't you get the iPad to work, Zoe? I mean, you need to learn how to do the iPad. You do the iPad like this. Zoe, the iPad. I'm
like, how is she supposed to learn from you? You can't open a goddamn iPad, Sonia.
It's like, Sonia, that's a Hershey bar. It's not an iPad. So
you're calling your dog. She's like, give it to me, Leah. Leah, are you in there?
So she FaceTimes Leah, and Leah's also in the tub. Like, oh my God, she's in the tub. She's in the tub. Matt, she's a grad of the internship. She knows what's up. So she basically invites Leah to this brunch, and then Leah says she's going to bring Ebony. They go through that whole facade of like, oh, I have a new friend, Ebony. Da 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 da. Oh, cool. Bring her along. Which, yeah. By the way, the other thing is Ebony, I believe, somewhere along the way, professed to being a huge Bravaholic. So she fully knows what all these women are all about, which is funny that she has to play along like, oh, nice to meet you.
Oh, yeah. She knows what she's getting into for sure.
Yeah.
So then we go to Ebony's apartment and she's wiping down counters and her friend Natalie comes over, her best friend. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Ebony has to do that awkward scene of setting up her entire life in one scene with her friend yes. who already as knows everything that's going on.
Yeah, as her friend has not been on the receiving end of the phone call for nights and nights and nights and nights hearing about like, from Ebony.
Yeah, she has to get in that she's doing really well. She's really rich because you have to be. Well, I mean, we just saw a Sonia scene, but she's the outlier. You're supposed to be really rich or at least pretend to be on these shows. Yeah. You've got your badass, you know, batch. You've got all this stuff going on. So she's like, wow, Natalie, great to see you. That Pink Hermes bag is fabulous. Okay, well, you know, I've just been going because I have Revolt News and I have the court stuff. Do you want rosé? I love rosé. You know, I wear a lot of hats, Tiffany. Okay, I'm a lawyer. I work as a broadcaster. I work for Revolt News, which I started. And you know that podcast we all know that I started, you know, called Holding Court. I'm a multi-hyphenate. So, yeah, you're going to love this rosé.
I know. It was like the clunkiest exposition. And Natalie was like, I'm so glad I drove all the way down here for this bullshit. So then Ebony's just like talking and she's like, well, you know, I mean, it's like a few years ago. I mean, I don't know if I ever told you this. You literally tell me the story every time we hang out. Whatever. Let's say it again. It was like when I went to the bank to try to get that mortgage and I couldn't get the mortgage. Oh my God. I couldn't get the mortgage. You know, I loved being a public defender, but then I said, I need a bigger microphone. I need more amplification. And you know what? I'm going to better myself. Okay. And I'm putting money into pursuing myself. But I was bad with my bills, so I got repoed. I'm like, Ebony, you did it all wrong. You're supposed to get repoed once you're the housewife, not before you're the housewife.
Yes, I want to see you get repoed, okay? Yeah. That's a very important part of the storyline here. You need to have it all, then lose it, and then we need to, like, root for you to, you know, slap your name on some, you know, knockoff joggers.
What are you doing paying your bills? What are you doing paying your bills before you get on to the Real Housewives? You have to pretend to pay your bills, and then you get disgraced in public. And then you resort to either cabaret or fashion to come back.
Yeah. I liked it. She said, you know, I went to the bank and you know what I forgot? I forgot to check that RICO, bitch. You always got to check that. she said, the bank lady even told me, not even your mom is going to give you a mortgage with that RICO. Well, you know, check the RICO. Okay. So she tells us how. She goes, well, I made decisions that in retrospect, you know, not even in retrospect, they were bad decisions. Okay. Very irresponsible. She goes, I mean, I was dodging parking spaces in different places so they wouldn't find that car. She goes, and they found the car. Okay. They found the car.
It's pretty amazing. But she got her credit back and everything. And now she just bought a one bedroom up in Harlem. And then this is the cruelest thing. After she drags her friend down here to hear all this stuff that her friend already knows about, she goes, so I'm going to be moving and you can help me move. You can help me move. I'm sure her friend was like, thanks for that.
Yeah. She's like, and now you can pack me up. Have fun.
Thanks.
So then we go to Sonia's house getting ready for brunch, just being manic as hell. You know, that first time people are coming over. since COVID hit and you're like, oh my God, what is still out? You know, you just know because everything looks normal to you in your house because you've just been sitting in it for a year. But you know there's some lube somewhere that you don't know where it went, you know.
No, she's upset the lube is packed away. She's like, okay, we need a centerpiece. Where's that lube? I want to put that on the table. So she's really mad because there's a runner on the table. She goes, I have an affliction to runners. I have an affliction to runners. You know, every year during the marathon, I can't.
I know. I totally get that one. She's like, I grew up with a family with runners and plastic on the rugs and the couch. And the caterer lady comes and she tucks her tag in because Sonia's still Sonia-ing, walking around with clothes that she's returning the next day. You know, she goes, yes, and I do keep the tags on everything so I can return it if I don't like it after I've fussed all over it and done everything else, sweat all over it.
Yep. So then Ramona's at home, and she calls up Luann. She goes, hey, Lou, it's Ramona. How are you? Huh? How are you? Huh? And so Luann's like, oh, I'm good. I'm just getting ready for brunch over at Sonia Rita's. Hope she doesn't serve me anything I'm allergic to, but I guess if that happens, we'll just have to take it one step at a time.
You know what? I'm going to be more positive. If I have something I'm allergic to, I'm going to stop referring to it as a blackout, and I'm going to start referring it to as a black in. All right. Speaking of, you know what? I Googled and you can wear white year round. Okay.
Oh, so I got a white pantsuit sitting on the bed right now. Of course, it says Viva La Diva on it. But I mean, who doesn't love that song? Am I right?
So Lee and Ebony are in a car together. And Lee goes, God, I hope they behave. And Ebony goes, so do you think they've met anybody like me before? And Lee goes, a black person? And they start cracking up, and I start cracking up. Yes. And she goes, actually, no, I don't think that they have.
Yeah, she's like, because I don't think they have met a black person. So Ebony's saying, she's like, I'm not really used to the Upper East Side. It's not really my place, but whatever. This serves everywhere. So I was like, oh, congratulations. The gays now love you. The gays, we're all on board now.
And she doesn't really know them, but she's seen Lou on the charity circuit. So she's like, I can deal with her, you know. And
not just like, the charity circuit. Not just the charity circuit. She's met Lou at Jill Zarin's house.
At Jill Zarin's, yes. The charity circuit at Jill Zarin's. So Leah's telling her about how Ramona's really pissed her off in the past. And she promised not to tell Leah what to do anymore. And all this, you know, all this like tired Ramona trying to school Leah on manners, which is hilarious considering she shits herself once a season, but whatever.
Yeah. And Ebony's like, well, on a more important note, I hope the food is really good because I don't miss no meals. I'm like, okay, well, I hope that Sonia unclogged that toilet finally because we know it works with Ebony.
So they get to the townhouse and Sonia's still manic and she's standing on the pond in the backyard and she's like, oh my God, I mean, look at the pond. I mean, I just cleaned it and now I'm trying to cover up all the stuff. I mean, what am I supposed to do?
It was a little unhinged. She's just back there. So Leah and Ebony come in and I think this may have been Leah's first time at the townhouse because she's like, well, it looks like a really nice Upper East Side townhouse, although maybe I brought my black light. I may not want to walk into the place, but I'm happy to be here. Yeah. So Sonia's like crawling out of this like pond and she's like, okay, sorry, I got to water the stones. It's very special stones. You got to wash the dirt off from the top, but not from the middle. Special stones, mama loves special stones.
Don't get the dirt from the cracks. Don't get the dirt from the cracks. And Ebony goes, is this
dirt
for
on
real?
Top, not from the side. Dirt on top, not from the sides.
Yeah, Sonia's just acting methed out of her mind, basically. Yes. And she's like, I'm just on Sonia time. I love Sonia time. Oh, hi. Now here I am. And they kiss. And she goes, oh, are we kissing now? I mean, are you those kind of people who just say, don't worry, I have the antibodies? Because that's what everybody's saying now. Don't worry, I have the antibodies. And Ebony goes, actually, I do have the antibodies. Okay. Yeah. I do have the antibodies because I did have COVID. Also, I'm going to shit here. So I just wanted to let you know that.
Your toilet's about to have the antibodies also. So, and then they're joking about Ramona and whether or not she has the antibodies. And we get flashbacks to the reunion where she says she has antibodies. And she like, there was some, I forgot what it was about her donating blood where she insisted that she donated blood. And they're like, we don't think she did. And they're like, we know she didn't. We know that Ramona did not donate blood because if she had donated blood, it would have been all over Instagram because she Instagrams everything. And we see a montage of Ramona's Instagram. She's like, whoa.
I got a new machine for coffee. It's taking me half an hour to figure out how to work it, okay?
The best part of that was Ramona in lingerie, pretending she could clean her toilet. She's like, look at me, just normal girl, normal outfit, cleaning my toilet, normal people do. Pumping her shoulder in the camera, trying to be all sexy.
Well, I figured it out. I figured out how to make tea, okay? Turns out you just take hot water and you put a tea bag in it, okay? You know what? It reminds me of when I was a little girl, I used to always love the letter T. I'd do my alphabets. I'd get to T and I'd be like, this is my favorite letter. And then my father's friend, Geraldine Parsons Smith, said to me, you know what? Little girls shouldn't say that letter. Little girls that say that letter are sluts because you can't say slut without T. And to this day, I've never known how to use the word T or even make T, okay? But now I've overcome. I'm sorry, but I've overcome, okay?
So Ebony's looking around and she's like, wow, this is like, I don't know, an enchanted garden, like that school book story. And Sonia's like, listen, oh, come to the pond. Okay, this is going to sound PC, but it's true. Look, I have a fish of every color. Okay. And I was like, oh no.
As soon as she said, this is going to sound PC, I just wanted to donate to a cause. I just was ready to donate.
Oh, no.
I have a fish of every black, white, yellow. All the fish of the rainbow are here. They all get along.
And Ebony goes, oh, yeah. I mean, look at you. You've got biracial fish. Look, you're into body positivity. You got larger fish, skinny fish. You know, that's some fish diversity, bitch.
Tony's like, I don't get it.
Wow. I mean, I really thought it would be Ramona first. I did not see too. It being Sonia first. Oh,
we had to know that it was just going to be whichever one she encounters first. It was going to fire off, right?
Oh, my God. I just like how Ebony navigates it. It's so funny. And she tells us, she goes, well, I feel like Sonia's trying a little hard to connect on that racial diversity of her of the moment with her fish. But that was pretty lame, you know. But I give her 2 points for trying.
2 points. So, so now Sonia's talking about how, you know, the bunny, it comes in, it comes out, you know, and this big deal, it's like, I can't catch a break. I mean, Century 21 went out of business. My raft that has the Nigerian football team on it, it sank off the coast of Saint-Tropez. I can't catch a break.
You know, I've been calling John. He hasn't called me back. I mean, the world is just turned upside down right now. I just don't know what to even do right now with myself.
I bought tickets to go see Hamilton. Guess what? It was a ripoff. I wound up at a Chuck E. Cheese where they're performing something called Hamilton. Not the same. I just can't catch a break anymore.
You know what? They should have called it Hamilton. Okay? Love tea. That's it.
They should have called it Averyton, okay? Because that would be about someone who's interesting. My best friend / daughter, Avery.
So she's talking about how she's doing this online business for her clothing, but they have all these losses because they had to get sewing machines and all these fabrics for the Century 21 stuff. And she's like, you know, I own 54% of it, but you know what? There's no money. So 54% of nothing. I mean, that's nothing, you know? And Ebony's like, you're looking at the books, right? And she goes, what kind of? I mean, I've seen them. And then it says last year, and you see Sonia looking at the books going, oh my God, that's written down. Good.
I know. It's like me signing a contract at Avis. Yeah, sure. Okay.
Yeah.
So Ebony is like, you need to make sure you see the books. And Sonia goes, ooh, I'm seeing the lawyer come out of that cleavage right there, which doesn't really make sense, but okay. And so she's like, I love having a lawyer in the group. Now I just need a plastic surgeon. So now, Ronnie, that's what she's casting the next season. That's why she's going to all these places. She's just casting. Recruiting.
Yeah, hey, put it out there, you know. And she goes, you know, free legal advice? I mean, you're talking to someone who just had 34 lawyers. So this is working out. So then they start talking about kids because Ebony's dating. And then they never let Ebony finish anything, right? So poor Ebony starts this story like 20 minutes ago. And she's like, listen, I'm an old bitch. She goes, I was on the Oprah track and I didn't want babies or a man because they would just slow me down. And then I had my ex and, you know, he has his kids and, you know, I get it. There's nothing like that love. But then I started thinking maybe I want that too. But, you know, it's going to cost something. And so do I slow down my ambition to rule the world? She's like, well, I'll tell you what. My first blackfish, I'll tell you, has the nicest leaf to rest behind than any of the others. Take that with you.
Yeah. So then Luann and Ramona arrive. They get out of their van outside the townhouse. And Ramona just starts going down the sidewalk. She's like, whoa, sidewalk. Ramona, get over here. Sorry, I saw a handsome man down the street. It's like, have you ever been here, Ramona? Whoa, is that you, Avery? Here's Mario. Is it Mario? Hi, Mario. Oh, no, it's made to Bill de Blasio. Barbara. Why is he with Barbara?
Be sure to get all of your things out of the can before you leave.
Shut up, Bill de Mario. Okay?
Bill de Blasio, is that your father? Oh, it's Barbara. Sorry.
So they go in, and there's double kisses with Leah and Ramona, and everyone's going to try and, you know, start this year off nice and everything. And Lou's like, oh, well, we went with the pink, huh? And Ebony said, well, yeah, I mean, you encouraged me, and, you know, you basically told me everything else sucked, so I wore this. She's like, yes, well, it looks great. Looks great. Yeah.
You know, I don't know Ebony well. I mean, I try to have a line between me and my fans, but, you know, I know her socially and in passing, and I always liked her, and I thought she was beautiful, and I especially liked that she bought my ka-single of Viva La Diva. So, you know, she's great.
She has that, as we say in France, that je ne sais quoi.
Well, girls, I have big news. I have a friend, a trainer friend in the Hamptons, and his name is Garth. And Ramona goes, Garth? I love that name, okay? Garth.
He's just so cool. He's gorgeous. He's stunning. He's 6'6". He's South African. He used to play rugby for England. It's just so crazy. I mean, we're friends and sometimes a little kissy-kissy, as they say in France. Kissy-kissy!
That sort of je ne sais quoi, that croissant en croissant love.
Yeah, at first I got an itch down there, and I thought I might be allergic to him. But, you know, it just turned out to be my new cotton underwear. You know, I was wearing that during quarantine. And I just put it out into the universe. I want a tall, blue-eyed man, and poof, he appeared. On a dating site, no less. I manifest these things.
What are the odds that you would find someone of pretty generic description, tall, blonde, blue eyes on a dating app.
A white, blonde person on a dating website? Are you kidding me?
Just for Cabaret Stars. It's a wonderful app. I recommend it for everyone.
So Ebony's like, oh, well, I have a boyfriend. And Ramona goes, really? I need lessons. Do you use the shoulder?
How do you find a boyfriend during COVID? Do you wear a mask during in the ocean? Because I don't wear masks in the ocean, okay?
And Sonya's like, oh, God, she doesn't even remember her boy's names. It's Ramona. And Leah's like, yeah, Ramona, I hear that you've been, like, seeing Harry Dubin sticking your tongue down each other's throats all over New York City.
You know what? Sometimes he gets a little frisky, okay? And now Ramona's mad. She's like, you know, seriously? I think she tells us this. She's like, yeah. Seriously, Leah? You're going to get desperate to pick on me so you have to talk about Harry? He's such old news. He's such old news, which is why I still make out with him. In the news, okay?
She goes, we're just friends. And Leah's like, well, not according to Sonia. And she goes, oh, you know what? Sonia doesn't even say anything real, okay? She's just trying to be funny. And Sonia goes, and she's a liar. So, you know, let's meet in the middle there. It's like, oh, this is going to go well.
Well, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire. And when there's sucking face, there's hiding the salami. It's sort of like that other old saying, where there's water, there's brown eyes. Am I right, everyone?
You know what? You're wrong. You don't even know me. Okay, who are you, crazy pond lady?
And Sonia's like, what does everyone start in my life and end up in your beds? All of them. I mean, next thing you're going to start taking baths. Copycats.
Hello, Cabaret Star. Okay. La, 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 la. That's what we call a warm-up. Anyway, I want to hear about Ebony. Ebony, tell us about this man in your life and how does it compare to Garth?
So finally they get back to Ebony and she's like, oh, well, you know, so I know this guy, you know, we started as friends, but then I went online and he's talking about social justice and kneeling, which I love. And they're just all looking at her like,
I don't understand what this has to do with the other
kneeling. What was he asking for? Anything in particular?
Whose autograph was he asking for at that moment?
Was he at church? Was he proposing to somebody?
So she goes, wow, I love when that happens, because they were friends for like a year and everything. And she's like, and he's a minority owner of a football team. And I'll just pause, I'll wait for Sonia to get confused and say something problematic. Sonia, oh well, I love that opportunity for him. Yes, it's not what you think it is, Sonia. It's not what you think.
Sonia. I'm surprised Sonia didn't come in with her. Oh, I was minority owner of a... I was the first white minority owner of a Nigerian football team.
White women are the most discriminated against people these days. I don't know if you know that. Just ask my fish. Mm-hmm. Just ask my white fish.
You know what we always say? White girl magic.
White girl magic. I love that saying. Anyway, look, oh, here's... do you want to see some photos of when I was in AKA? Okay, great. So, so Leah's like, hello, can you like hook me up with a football player? And Abby's like, no, I'm working on Leah. Okay, you gotta go, you gotta stay away from the talent. Okay, you have to go to the bosses. I'm like, no. I think you're totally entitled to go for a hot ass football player. I say go for the talent. Why do you want the crusty old Bob Kraft?
Because they have the money, okay? They have the money. Get the money.
So have you ever seen the guy who own? You ever see any of the guys who own these teams? It is like looking at an amoeba wearing a blazer. There's a little critter outside. I just saw.
Listen,
critter.
After you fuck somebody two times, they all look like an amoeba. Okay, just who cares? You know, come two times and then marry the rich one. That's what I say. So yeah. Sonia's like, wow, well, she's getting fully loaded, guys. I mean, not just loaded, but loaded. I mean, and Leah says, are you on birth control? And Ebony's like, well, yeah, I don't want to trap him. And Sonia goes, well, don't trap him. Just trick him or. I don't know.
Just tell him that you're on birth control and then have a baby. That's called building a family.
Yeah. She's like, I mean, you might want to get off birth control if you want to have it. She's like, yeah, I'm not going to trick him. And then Luann keeps Leah outside because everyone goes in to eat. And Lou's like, well, I've got news. I've stopped drinking. And Leah's like, How many minutes? She's like, seven. It's been long. It's been a long 7 minutes, Leah.
During COVID, I was kind of going back and forth, and I was like, I could do this. I can control this rampant allergy in my life, but I'm realizing now I can't. It's scary, and I'm struggling with it. The only thing that gets me through the day is knowing that my song, Viva La Diva, hit number 3 on the Bulgarian dance charts last week, so I have that at least.
I just need you to be my wingman. You know, I don't expect you to say you're my sponsor, just my wingman. In other words, when there's a hot person, you set me up for the hot person and stop stealing them all, young person. All right? And Leah's like, well, I haven't had much to drink. I haven't had anything to drink since March 31st, you know? And I had a reference point because I had quit before. And so, like, I got easily back into it. And you know what? I just realized it's supposed to be like this for me. And Luann's like, yeah, well, it's nerve-wracking to be around people, you know? Because you know how this group gets. It's crazy. Did you see Sonia? I mean, she tried to serve me a glass of water in a glass pipe. I mean...
These people are crazy. She's like, oh, I know what you're talking about. And then we see a montage of Leah being actually the craziest of them all, like throwing cheeky torches.
With the octopus or the squid.
Yes. So, listen, no one likes to party more than I do, okay? But unfortunately, I have a party allergy now, so I can't do it. So now we go all to Sonia leading them into... this is what it was. I was like, why did I write this down? I loved the subtleness of this edit of Luann saying, no one likes to party more than I do. And then it cuts immediately to Sonia right then and there. Like, okay, girls, come on this way. I was like, I see what you're doing there, editors. I see.
Yep. So they have all this food set out and these little desserts. And Sonia's like, well, I can't take any credit for this. I just hired people. And Ebony's like, you paid for it. Take some credit. So they all, you know, goo-goo-gaga with the little things that none of them eat, I'm sure.
Is that a mille feuille? Oh, or as the French say, a mille feuille.
So Ramona and Luann give Sonia shit about not calling them back. And Sonia's like, we talked. And Lou's like, give me a break. I mean, listen. She goes, we just talked like a week ago. She's like, 6 months, 9 months, 13 months. It's been 77 months, okay? Like, who are you even? It was college. College was the last time we saw you, Sonia Rita. We've never seen. Last time I saw you, you were coming out of a womb. You were just born, okay?
So, yeah, so they're like, well, we missed you. You didn't visit me or Lou all summer long. No, you did not. You absolutely didn't. You were MIA, girl. Okay. And so then Leah's like, well, no, I spoke to her. Well, she's a new friend. Okay. We're your oldest friends. Timeline, not age. Timeline, oldest friends, okay?
We haven't heard from you. And Ramona's like, you know what? Duran would say, Ramona, did you hear from Sonia? And I would say, no, Duran, did you hear from Sonia? And then she would say, no, Ramona, did you hear from Sonia? And I would say, no, Duran, did you hear from Sonia? And then Tom would come out in his balcony and say, shut up, can't sleep up here. And I would go, oh, my God. Tom, right by Tom. Bye, Tom.
So Sonia's basically like, well, you know, I was alone. Actually, I was in the desert. I was just like walking around alone in the desert, just walking, just looking for Burning Man. Never found it.
So let's see. So she talks about how Century 21 really hurt her, you know, and it was like the rug being pulled out from under her. And they're like, yeah, but we're still your friends, you know. She's like, but I don't like to bother you, you know. And Ramona's like, you know what? Sonia's not in a good position, okay? You know, Century 21's dead. And then look at the townhouse. I mean, I just don't want it to spiral without me there to laugh at her, okay?
If she's going to spiral, it should be me who causes it, not the townhouse, okay?
Yeah. Let's have a getaway. So, you know, here's the like, hey, Sonia's depressed. Let's take her out and just like ruin her life out of town so she can't escape. And they're going to go to the Hamptons. You know, you can come too, Ebony. Ramona's like, yeah. You know what, Ebony? I feel a bond with you. And I just have to say that right now. Like, it's really special. Okay.
And I'm like this. My hands are over my face. I'm like, here it comes. Here it comes. She's about to say something really bad. But then she doesn't. I was like, whoa. Whoa. I was like, that's sort of surprising. So Leah's like, Ramona, you said the same thing about me too when you first met me. She's like, well, I agree. Okay.
Yeah.
So then Luann turns to Ebony and she's like, well, you have to come to my house. I mean, you haven't seen my house. I have a beautiful house. It's in Sag Harbor. You ever heard of Sag Harbor? It's a harbor that sags, like Ramona's face. Oh, you have to come. And Ebony's like, oh, I love Sag Harbor. I do. Really? You know Sag Harbor? You've heard of Sag Harbor? I'm like, it's like Luann. People know what Sag Harbor is.
Yeah. And Ebony's like, yes, it's a very special place, actually. You know, Sag Harbor has a history because it's the first place that black people could own property. And it was like a generation after slavery. So it's actually very special to me. And they're just like,
And Ramona goes, that's amazing. What are we talking about again? And Luann's like, oh, I haven't heard that before. I'm normally quite up to date on the historical origins of any town I live in. I'm surprised I didn't know that. Anyway, is anyone else getting allergic to this cheese? Anyone?
It's like, well, I was there for COVID. And, you know, and typically we do a trip to the Hamptons. So this is our bonding moment, which sometimes works out and sometimes it just doesn't work out. So then this is the best part of the whole episode because I'm thinking, okay, this is so far kind of awkward. You know, everyone's sober. Sonia's freaking out about something. What's going to happen here? You know, right. I'm like, I'm not sure about the season, but then it's like all set up like a little polite tea party. So then right. They're like, you know, everything's great. And everyone's like, I'm so glad to see you again. I'm so glad to be friends again. Wow. Even I'm glad to see you ugly bitches. So this is great. And it's like the next week, shut the fuck up. What the fuck is wrong with you?
And then it comes back and Ebony's like, I'm excited to go. And you know what? I heard such nice things about you and you're actually nicer than they said. And then like a week forward, I never said that. You got it all wrong. Well, then you need to clear your eyes out and ears out and listen. I was like, oh, yes. Good, Ebony. Good. Get in there.
Yeah. And then Leah going, you're not going to treat me like a raunchy bitch. And then it could just cut back to them going like,
you know what? I love you. I love you so good to see you. Wow.
And then, Luann goes something like, welcome to the club, or it's like, I don't know. They just, you see these flash forwards to what next week is going to be. And it looks, I'm like, okay, all right. I think we're going to be just fine.
I am in. Okay, everybody. So that was the recap part of the show. So everybody listening to this at home, not five people, you guys stay here, but everybody listening, thank you so much. We will talk to you next time.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Dana C. Dana Do.
Let's Run Some Errands with Emily Ahrens.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay.
She's a little bit loony.
Junie.
She's always supplying. It's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson. Megan Berg. You can't have a burger without the Berg.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters.
There ain't no problem that Sarah Salvia can't solve ya.
The Bay Area Betches, Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Nancy Cease and Desisto. Better than Tabbouleh, it's Annie and Julie.
In the Hizzy with Jay Hizzy.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
Always the wiser is Allison Weisler. We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
She's cheese on a bagel, it's Megan Ragel.
Erica, 500 Days of Summers.
We will, Joanna Rockland, you.
The incredible, edible Matthews sisters. Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender. No one makes us feel well like Megan Cap Sewell. Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Couture. We love you guys.